The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Just when you thought the case against Sean Diddy Combs couldn't get any bigger, federal prosecutors have filed a superseding indictment expanding the scope of the charges against him. We're talking about allegations of sex trafficking, coercion, bribery, obstruction of justice, and even arson, for good measure. Painting a picture of a long-running criminal enterprise now labeled in court documents as Combs Enterprises. The indictment lays out an intricate system where Combs allegedly used his businesses, employees, and massive influence to control and exploit victims over the course of decades, with a trial set now for May of 25, which highly doubt that we're going to make that. The case is shaping out to be one of the most high-profile legal battles in recent memory. We're joined by Bob Mata, host of Defense Diaries, and also we're going to start breaking down right now the new indictments and what it means from a legal perspective. Bob, when we're looking at these superseding indictments here in this case, is it a sign that they're tightening their grip on Diddy? Or, you know, sometimes you may look at this and go, are they just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, the feds don't do that throwing everything against the wall and see what sticks thing. That's like a state prosecutor type thing. Now, when the feds come at you, they are pretty confident that they have the evidence to get the conviction. So, yeah, no, it's to me, it means that they believe that they're going to be able to make that RICO case. And it's interesting because of, you know, RICO, when you think of RICO cases in recent memory, obviously everybody's mind goes immediately to like YSL. That was like a absolute shit show of a RICO trial. But the difference there and the difference here is that was the state of Georgia as opposed to the federal government trying that. And here you've got the feds. So it's just night and day when you're dealing with the feds and the state in terms of their ability to be able to make good on what they're alleging in their superseding indictment. So I think it's probably got some legs.
There's a lot in here, and we'll kind of go through it, but you had a chance to look at it. You actually sent it to me last night when it all came down. I had a chance to read through it all on the air. What stood out to you in this thing as, you know, maybe some new elements to this that go beyond just the first indictment?
Yeah, I mean, I think they added a couple things, you know, which really kind of add to the story. And it's interesting because I finally got an opportunity to start watching some of that doc that you were talking about last time we talked about Diddy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. You know, I think that the charges that they add most significantly are the RICO, and that changes kind of the scope of the case in terms of, you know, because when you think of RICO, you usually think of, well, who are the co-conspirators, right? Are they named? Are they unnamed? And, you know, like, is Diddy now going to be sitting in trial with like 20 different guys? And it doesn't have to be that way, because that's why they go into great lengths in the document talking about the enterprise. Mm-hmm. The enterprise in and of itself allows for them to move on a RICO. So they can talk about, you know, his security staff, his like inner circle people, you know, all the people that he had surrounded him with that he had doing his bidding as the co-conspirators, as a part of that larger enterprise. So, you know, it's going to make for, like, RICO cases are fascinating if they're well done, you know, because you're really trying to kind of dive into the case in a way that you're able to get to the person that you're trying to get to in kind of an indirect way, which sounds crazy in terms of how I explained it. But remember, RICO really came about by the feds in order to try to get some of these outfit guys.
Yeah, like mobsters. You know, like
the mobster guys, because they just weren't able to succeed charging them with crimes that they knew they were committing, because the head of the family always had people doing his bidding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was what RICO was really born out of. So here, Diddy's the head of the family. He may have had a bunch of guys doing his bidding, but at the end of the day, under RICO, he's going to be held responsible, even if they can't say, well, we know it was you that ordered, and this is hypothetical, ordered a hit on so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, but we know that you're the head of the family, and then we know that shit runs downhill. So, and we know that you have a criminal enterprise going on. So, yeah, I mean, like, we've speculated that there was going to be a lot more coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. I still don't think they're done.
No,
I honestly,
no.
I don't think by a long shot. I agree with you completely. May 2025 is super ambitious, because anytime they bring in superseding indictments, that means more discovery, and that means the defense is going to be asking for time. I mean, kind of the counterbalance to it, though, is that you've got Diddy's in custody. So, and he's not happy about it, I assure you. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be saying, no. He's like, you need to fucking work 24/7. You need to get your shit ready. Like, I I'm paying you right. Get it done. We're not dragging this thing out. I'm sitting here in custody and, you know, with him of the mindset that he's going to walk on it. But, you know, like, he's like, I'm not letting my attorneys drag this thing out. So he's going to put their feet to the fire and, you know, force them to get prepared as quickly as possible. He's like, I'm your only client right now. Mm-hmm. No, that's it. So act accordingly.
I mean, when you add new charges, I mean, his right to a speedy trial, I mean, does that kind of go away, or is it just kind of push the goalposts back a little bit with a firm date for a right to a speedy trial, or is it all kind of up in the air, you know, the more charges that could come down with more superseding indictments?
Yeah, no, I mean, if a new indictment comes, it's new charges, so you need to reset the clock.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I'll be surprised if we see this happen by May of 2027, quite honestly. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. In the case here, and comparing a RICO charge as we would like for a mobster or something, where there's all these other people that are insulating the head of the family, There is that element in certain pieces of this case, but a lot of it, I mean, you have him on camera. The way that they've worded the indictment, they got material, they got video. They wouldn't be listing out, like, actions that are in these videos, just going, I think there's a video that looks like this. No, they have the video, or they've seen it, or it is very solid that it is there. But it shows Diddy, I mean, doing some of these things, like, directly. But then you also, yeah, you do have some minions in there, but more so than I think you would with, you know, big crime bosses. They don't necessarily have them on video ordering this or that. It's more so the subs and all that go below them. So, I mean, does that make this a little different than a typical type RICO case where you do have, like, direct evidence of the main subject performing these illegal acts?
Yeah, yes and no, because I think that what they charged him with initially are the things that you're going to be seeing him on video. Mm-hmm. It's the things that take place that aren't on video is where RICO is going to poke its head in. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, obviously things like bribery, you know, like that's not going to be something that is necessarily going to be caught on video. You know, maybe even not the, like, it depends on what they consider kidnapping.
Sure.
Like how they're construing that statute. You know, cause I mean, if it was a civil claim, that would be kind of a false imprisonment type thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to kidnapping, you know, the aiding and abetting, you know, those are going to be things that, like, you're not necessarily going to see on film. To me, it's a bit of a catch-all, you know, like this is like we're not going to let you get away with any of the shit that you've done or that we think that you've done. And, you know, RICO is really kind of the way to capture those other things, mm-hmm. that they believe that he's done, mm-hmm. or that he ordered to have done that they wouldn't otherwise be able to bring without the RICO statute. So, you know, like it's, I see what you're saying, but, like, you don't need that RICO with direct evidence. You know what I'm saying?
It's just, there's enough there to do both. Quite honestly, there's some
that are direct and
some that are RICO, but it's all the same thing.
Yeah. They are, like, so don't be confused. Superseding indictments doesn't mean that the old ones go away.
No.
It's just like we're adding to it.
Yeah. It's certainly, you know, it's just the wall of now that Diddy has to break through. The first one, a nice solid concrete wall. You'd really have to pound through that to get out. And then right behind it, now it's a Teflon wall with barbed wire on top. And they're already working on constructing the third one behind that, I'm sure. So it makes this just more and more dark for Diddy. I mean, I don't see how he's going to be moving past any of these things. I found it interesting in the new superseding indictment, similar to what we found in the first one, is some of the allegations that have come out in the civil suits are now listed in the federal indictment against Diddy, specifically talking about hanging a person, I believe it's a woman, off of a balcony, a la the old story of Suge Knight and Vanilla Ice, but this was Diddy's version. It makes you wonder if, you know, he heard the rumors and go, I'm going to do that too. If Suge could do it, I can do it. Right. But you're starting to see some of those things come into play too. The fact that the elements of some of the civil cases are now into the federal indictment, that I would think certainly says, well, those civil cases must be pretty damn strong too, if they're now getting into the federal territory as well.
Yeah. And I mean, for certain, and it's a much lower burden in civil cases, you know, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. So, but yeah, I agree that if the feds felt like whatever they had in those civil cases in terms of discovery and evidence, they felt that it was sufficient for them to move on a higher burden. So yeah, that does tell you that those civil cases are, you know, pretty rock solid. I imagine that a vast majority of those will get settled. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, probably before they try to depose Diddy, you know, and mm-hmm. I think we talked about this way back where we were talking about whether or not the judge in the civil case is going to be beholden to the criminal case in that, you know, they're going to obviously want to depose Diddy in the civil stuff. And, you know, I've had cases where there's kind of a companion civil case going at the same time as a criminal case. And typically I've been able to, you know, ask the judge in the civil case. I'm like, look, you know, there's Fifth Amendment implications here. You know, we want to be able to provide the discovery pursuant to the notice of deposition. However, you know, I can't put my client in a position where potentially they're saying, you know, they're saying things that are going to be able to be used, because obviously depositions are sworn statements. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't have him in a position where what he's saying in those depths is going to be used against him in his criminal matter. So, you know, a lot of times the judges will table those. I mean, I've had situations where the judges are like, nah. It's like, you know, where the judge will ask specifically, so like, what are you concerned about? Mm-hmm. Like what are you worried about him saying that is going to have an impact over in this courthouse, in the criminal courthouse, you know, and you're kind of having to get into it and you're making the argument, well, Your Honor, that's privileged, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, it can get tricky, but yeah, no, to your main point. Yeah, the fact that they're, and we knew that they were going to do this. We said it. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's like those are a guide map for the feds, because you can dig up a lot more on the civil side of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and there's a much bigger incentive for people when there's money involved for them in mm-hmm. terms of coming forward.
Yeah.
No, so, but with that, I think that you also have to worry about people that are just trying to cash a check.
Sure.
You know, you always have to worry about that, especially when you're talking about Diddy money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's huge money, and you got to vet the stuff. You got to see what kind of evidence they have to corroborate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they can't corroborate it, then, you know, it's worthless. So, yeah.
And I want to talk about the Diddy money, or maybe very soon lack thereof, in just a few moments, because that's another part of the superseding indictment. But first, I want to talk about, you know, some of the employees, some of the willing participants, and not talking sexually. I'm talking like heads of staff, assistants, whoever may have been working for Diddy. And certainly what we're learning in a lot of those documentaries and the civil cases is that, you know, they were threatened. Many were threatened and really felt like they couldn't say anything. They couldn't do anything and they couldn't get away. That's one thing. It's a whole other thing if you're, say, the head of the staff, and you're helping procure these things. We saw in one of the new documentaries, The Fall of Diddy, that's on Investigation Discovery and Max right now, very last chapter of it, episode number 5, which we didn't even know there was going to be a number 5 until they dropped it at the very last minute. You have one of his assistants coming out with receipts, showing the text messages from Diddy. And it's not just text messages. It is literally Diddy's voice, because Diddy wasn't also keen on having to use your thumbs and type. He was probably too busy with something else, maybe too much baby oil on his hands. He didn't want to get the phone dirty. Instead, he enjoyed the voice memos. And there are a lot of them. And it all talks about, hey, I need you to get, and like a laundry list of illicit drugs and all sorts of shit for his, at this point, in the more recent years, apparently he was changing the name to Wild King Knights and not Freak Offs. Wonder where that came from. I don't know. But it's all there. And it's Diddy asking for these certain things. This guy has come forward. This guy is working and I'm sure has testified to the grand jury. At least that's my assumption, judging by what some of the things we're seeing now in the grand jury indictment. They very much match up to what he was testifying to in that documentary. But the people, like I said, that were he was texting with, because it wasn't always just Diddy. Sometimes it was his heads, some of his heads of security. Sometimes it was his chief of staff. And they were like, hey, Diddy needs more lube, LOL. Or, hey, I mean, literally, I mean, it's comical to a certain extent, all the way down to they trash a hotel room and now they have to clean the carpets, the beds, chairs, because there's bodily fluids on it. There's literally baby oil everywhere. You can literally slip and fall on it. Yeah. So the and for added value, Astroglide. I guess that was another thing. Maybe there's a big hoard of that too, because he said there was a lot of Astroglide and a lot of baby oil going on. So the folks that are complicit in getting Diddy these things, not just executing the order from someone who's their boss on his staff, the ones who are higher up, the managers, are those sort of folks likely to face charges in this? I mean, obviously, I'm sure many of them are being subpoenaed for the grand jury, but that would be, you know, if you're looking at like kind of a mob situation, it would be, you know, some of your people just a block down from the heads. That would be kind of their role in the Diddy case.
Yeah, I mean, they're in peril.
Yeah,
like if you're at that level, like if you're at the level right below the head, You're not feeling cozy.
Yeah.
You know, they're applying a lot of pressure on you. But, you know, I mean, you have to look at kind of what the end result of what they were procuring was, meaning that there's nothing illegal about going out and buying vats of baby oil on its surface.
Sure.
There's nothing, you know, illegal about probably a lot of the things in terms of supplies until you shift into the illicit drugs, you know. But then again, talking about buying drugs, they can't charge you with possession of those drugs. However, where it comes into play is where they're building the case and they're saying, okay, well, these people were doing things against their will
mm-hmm.
because they were drugged. That becomes the evidence that they need to get them to the point of, all right, this is what was going down, and this is how they got here.
Yeah,
to make it go down. You know, these are the guys that were, you know, and like I said, man, they're doing proffers left and right. Mm-hmm. The feds are, with all these folks that work with Diddy and under Diddy and for Diddy, and you know, they are getting as much information as they can. Now, whether or not they're going to be charged, I guess it's going to depend on if the feds think it's worth their time, you know, because that's what I was saying in the beginning, T. It's like they didn't have to get the small fish to get to the big fish. They got yeah. the big fish right away. This is a fucking massive case for them.
Yeah.
Like every U.S. attorney that's working on this, every agent that's working on this, this is going to be the feather in their career cap forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like this case is going to be epic. Like this is the biggest takedown of anybody that I can ever think of.
Yeah.
Like in any capacity, you know, fucking Al Capone, fuck that. Mm-hmm. Al Capone was like peanuts compared to this guy.
Yeah.
This guy was a kingmaker. He had more money than 99% of the people on the planet. And he was a fucking gangster, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy was a straight up gangster,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like watching that documentary that you had recommended to me. I you come to find out that his old man was a gangster, mm-hmm. you know, like in that his father worked for, he was like an underboss or a soldier for the guy that was, like the focus of American Gangster, the movie with Denzel and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I forget the guy he was working for, but he was like one of the heads of them in Compton, I believe, at
right.
The time. Or not Compton.
Harlem.
Yes, Harlem. Yep. I mean, pretty high up there. And then he gets killed.
Yeah, because it's like you see that little clip of Diddy. He's like, you know, he's like, your parents might not be around, but, you know, that shit runs in your DNA.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about that gangster thing that he has going on. And it's like we've talked about the psychology of this a lot, you and I have, and it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the like just kind of the influx of money and power and where it takes you in terms of your own mind. And thinking that you're bulletproof, and you know, he gets away with the club shooting in 99, you know, and his boy goes down. And it's like, you know, the more, and now what's coming out is that this dude, he was picking up charges left and right, mm-hmm. and just was like Teflon Don.
Yeah.
You know, like everything was bouncing off of him until now, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, there's going to be a lot of shit that comes out that I think is going to be shocking to people if you're not already shocked.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, when we look back at it, we're going to realize, I mean, this guy changed a fucking culture.
Yeah.
Like in a profound way. You know, it's like you see the interviews in that documentary, which is really well done.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I'm always giving ID a little side eye sometimes, because sometimes they can put out some
yeah.
kind of cookie cutter stuff.
Sure.
This ain't that.
No.
This ain't that. They secured a lot of amazing interviews with a lot of people that know shit legitimately. And the thing is really, really well done. Like the first 15 minutes, my wife Allison's like, eh. I'm like, just keep watching. And by like the end of the first episode, she's like, wow.
Yeah.
This is a story. But, you know, like it just in terms of what we're talking about here and in terms of this takedown of somebody of that magnitude in a hard takedown. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, you know, all the shit that's been going on in the political world. You know, where you've got Trump saying, well, they're weaponizing the justice system to win a fucking election.
Yeah.
This is like they're going after one of the biggest cultural icons in the history of the country and going for a full body slam takedown of this mm-hmm. guy. Not just him spending the majority of the rest of his life in prison, but taking all his fucking money too.
Yeah, let's talk about that because that's another big piece of the superseding indictment. It's the forfeiture allegations. And I mean, I'll try and explain it the best I can, and then you correct me if I'm wrong from a legal standpoint. But I mean, it looks pretty much like they're saying anything that was gained in Combs Enterprises as a criminal organization, we are taking. And if we can't find it, if it's gone, if it's been mingled with something we can't really break apart, then we're going to go after anything personal and professional of yours and your business of that equal value, and we're going to take that too. That's a kind of a stunning forfeiture when you really think about it, because it really, the way he intermingled his personal life from what we're understanding and his business life, they were almost one in the same. I mean, it's like, hey, let's go do this record and then he's going to go rape somebody in the next room, allegedly. That could mean like his homes, his bank accounts.
All of it.
Everything. I mean,
it means everything. All of it.
Yeah. I mean, it everything he has. And that doesn't need him to be found guilty. This means it's out there now. We're beginning this process. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, like they'll have to get him, like the forfeiture stuff, they're going to have to prove that he got it by ill-gotten gains, right? Mm-hmm. So, but what's fascinating about it, and the forfeiture case is going to be a separate case in and of itself. Like the forfeiture court, like that's a whole different beast. Like a lot of times the more common thing that you see with forfeitures is drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody that gets huge mansions or has boats and, you know, really expensive cars and, you know, tons of cash. And they know that they've, you know, created all that wealth by way of them dealing illegal drugs.
Yeah.
And in those cases, you know, you see those forfeitures, they're a slam dunk. This is a much, much more interesting analysis because mm-hmm. they are so intermingled. You're talking about Bad Boy Records and you're talking about his music empire, that it's inextricably intertwined
mm-hmm.
with his criminal enterprise, where you can't tell the difference of what's what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that he was using his music empire in order to further the criminal enterprise, that they're like without the music part of it, that was the draw.
Yeah.
And that the rest of it was all just the criminal enterprise. It's like
Tony Soprano's garbage business. and then the other part's all criminal.
Right. It's even more different because like the music side of it is legitimate.
Yes.
Like it has value.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I mean, the guy is a cultural icon. He changed black culture massively.
Yeah.
Like, initially in a very positive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you heard a lot of people in the documentary talking about how they really looked up to him because he was like really one of the first, you know, black Americans to make his own fortune, to rise to that level of power and wealth. And, you know, and he did it in a way that he wasn't beholden to anybody, you know? So mm-hmm. it's like, but when you have the fact that it's intertwined, his music is so much a part of what made the criminal enterprise tick. It's going to be a fascinating legal argument, man. It really is.
When can they start going after this money and the assets and all that? I know his homes are up for sale right now, you know, by Diddy. Are we going to see all of that stuff being going into federal hands fairly quickly? Or what's the timeline on something like that?
I mean, the claims of the forfeiture stuff, I mean, they have to be able to prove the underlying case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's going to have to be convictions. Like, they're not going to just be able to take his money if he ends up getting acquitted of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then they didn't prove that they were from ill-gotten gains, you know?
Sure.
It's like they've got to be able to, but they're going to start trying to reel it all in, you know, anticipatorily. They're going to say, all right, like, we need to start finding this guy's money because we're not losing this case.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get acquitted. And, you know, we want to get all this money all rounded up because I'm sure he's got it spread all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got offshore accounts. Like, the dude's no idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be very clear about that. You know, you don't build an empire like that being a moron.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he got advice. If he didn't know how to do something, he got advice from people that did know how to do it. So, you know, I mean, just kind of rounding up the cash and all the assets is in and of itself going to be a massive undertaking, you know, but like for them, for the federal government, it's a huge win. Like, the money side of these cases is really what goes under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you like to think that the federal government, like, we don't want bad drugs in our company. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They want the money.
Mm-hmm.
They want the assets seized. They want the cash. It's a huge influx of cash that comes in. But you know, I've never looked at the actuary numbers in terms of manpower and time and resources that's spent prosecuting these cases, but I have to imagine when you're talking about this type of money, no matter what it's going to take, it's going to be a huge win. You know, if they have to spend $1 billion to get 10, it's a big win.
Yeah. Yeah. Can they freeze his assets right now with these forfeiture allegations? Just say, okay, look, we're intending on taking all of this. We fully believe you are going to be found guilty. Obviously, if you're acquitted, unfrozen, it's back to you. But right now, I mean, let's just say it is frozen, okay, which I'm sure it probably will be if it's not already right now. That's got to impact him a bit in terms of being able to afford attorneys, representation to the level that he has been, or just anything else that's going on out there. I mean, supporting his family or whoever he's supporting, all that, I'm going to imagine, comes to a grinding halt, other than things that they can't get their hands on, like an offshore account or something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, his attorneys will be fighting the freezing of all the assets, obviously, and they're going to certainly be arguing that we have to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're not in here on a charity thing.
Yeah.
So we're not pro bono on this case, you know, and as far as, you know, the rest of his family and all those that have to be taken care of, the court's going to be like, well, you know, tough shit.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to how regular people live, you know, but I mean, that stuff will all be litigated. And like I said, it's not necessarily litigated in this particular courtroom with this particular judge. I mean, typically it's handled in forfeiture court, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a different proceeding. So, you know, those will be really interesting to follow as those are kind of progressing through. But yeah, I mean, they certainly can freeze his assets. I mean, they do it all the time.
Yeah. Do you think that will hinder his ability, you know, really to continue going forward with the level of defense that he's going with. Like you said, we're not doing this pro bono, but if he can't guarantee a payday for anybody, what do you do?
Well, if his lawyers were smart, and they are, mm-hmm. You're getting your retainer.
You already got it.
Massive up front.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that money may have already been spent or been given.
Right. This isn't a case where you're like billable hours. And that's not to say that they can't come back and say, okay, well, we worked longer and harder than we thought we were going to have to.
Yeah.
Your whole mandate that we have to work 24 hours a day, well, that costs you more. So, I mean, but going into it in criminal cases, you always try to get your fees up front in terms of the retainer. So I'm sure they've been well paid thus far. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they were anticipating that there were going to be superseding indictments as well. So, skilled and experienced attorneys that handle these types of matters are going to know, kind of going into it like, look, that this is what it's going to run you, man, and it's for these reasons that it's going to run you this much. And I imagine he cut those checks pretty quick.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Let's talk about the fact that we have another superseding indictment here. After the first indictment, the floodgates kind of came open in terms of all of the civil allegations. A lot of people finally felt safe to tell their story, more so after he was arrested, because we had they were investigating, indictment comes down, he gets arrested. And then once he was finally behind bars, a lot of people started coming forward. I'm wondering if this second round is going to encourage others who have not yet come forward, maybe still some fear there. I would likely think there probably would be a lot of fear there. I mean, I don't know that I've been one of the first ones to come forward against Diddy, seeing what allegations there are out there of him or his minions silencing people in various ways. But now this is another layer behind that first indictment. Do you think we're going to see more people coming forward here again, kind of in a windfall in the next handful of days or weeks, now that we have this new layer to it?
I would think so. But like you said, there's going to be a certain segment of people that are still not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like his reach is pretty profound in terms of what they're thinking that he's capable of, even behind bars, and knowing that every phone call is monitored, knowing that when he has visitors, that those visits are being monitored. I mean, essentially the only time that he's ever able to speak to anybody in confidence is his attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and attorneys have an ethical duty to follow the law. So it would be tough for him to give directions in terms of handling issues outside of the walls of the prison. Does that mean he can't be done? No.
Yeah.
It's done all the time. But like, I don't know, man. Like, I think that the more that they keep throwing up there in terms of those walls you're talking about, I think that the safer the people will feel, and they're also sitting in rooms with federal agents and U.S. attorneys that are giving them, probably pretty strong feelings about, look, we feel very, very strong about this case. Like, mm-hmm. this guy's going down on that. So they're getting reassurances, but it's like with this dude, man. And like, it's the people that were in that world that saw him get away with so much shit, mm-hmm. for so long, that are probably still like, man, I hear what you're saying to me, but, you're dealing with this dude, man. And this dude just has a tendency to be able to skate on shit.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting, man. I mean, imagine them picking a jury in this thing, and it's like, I guarantee you there are still people out there that love this guy.
Yeah.
You know, for the music that he's produced and the beats that he's made, just like he added value to their lives. He's going to have supporters out there, and, you know, picking a jury in this thing is going to be tough, because despite the, like, cause there's going to be people like, oh, well, the guy had fucking like weirdo parties and, mm-hmm. you know, big fucking deal. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. where they're just not kind of looking at the, you know, just how raunchy and scary these parties really were,
yeah.
in terms of having dominion and control over people. You know, they're just not looking at it like that, and they should be, but they're not.
Yeah.
So like the whole thing is fascinating, man. It's like, I gotta be honest, like you're covering it probably as much as anybody out mm-hmm. there, that in like, I haven't been covering it as much, but the more I get into it, like it's an unbelievable case.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable case, man.
It is. I will say this about people's love for Diddy. And if we compare it to the last RICO case that we've seen against a celebrity, a music artist, R. Kelly would be the one that comes to mind. There we saw, it was still to this day, there's still a lot of people that are behind R. Kelly. And R. Kelly, I mean, he was a superstar, but he wasn't as big as Diddy. But I would say this is just my take on it. I feel like there are far more people who are still, they'd be fine if R. Kelly came back and started touring again versus Diddy. I feel like the pool of supporters of Diddy is pretty small compared to something of that of R. Kelly. Do you agree?
I don't know, man.
Like, I don't see it publicly. I don't see it the way we saw it with R. Kelly, where there was constant support.
We're not going to see it until the trial starts.
Well, I mean, just vocally, just as a whole, just the community out there that, you know, once, you know, loved the music. R. Kelly's support still exists to this day. We don't see a lot of people being super vocal about supporting Diddy.
Well, I think that the kind of the inner circle mm-hmm. hated the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that it went out, like, in concentric circles, like even further and further. Like, I think anybody that had to deal with him personally, because he really was a tyrant.
Yeah.
You know, he really, really was. Like, yeah. this guy, like, you don't make that kind of money and have that kind of power by being a super swell guy. You just don't. It's not how it works in a capitalist society. You got to be a cutthroat son of a bitch to make that kind of money in this world. And, you know, and again, like, once that power starts kind of floating your way and you're grabbing it and you get the taste for it, you know, like, I think that everybody, but I mean, I'm kind of talking about the world in general.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the temperature is, because I'm talking about a potential jury pool.
Okay.
I'm talking about the potential for, you know, them getting three jurors on there that love Diddy and have always loved Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they end up getting mistrial after mistrial because they can't put 12 people in that box from the place where that guy grew up. And, you know, for all that he's done for black culture up until now, you know,
I don't know. I don't know if I agree on that. My gut tells me that.
I mean, dude, like, you know, R. Kelly wasn't even in the same fucking.
No, I agree.
He wasn't in the same galaxy. He was like 50 notches below, as big as he was.
Yeah.
Like, Diddy was like massively bigger.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not even close, dude.
And he was, but I don't know that people connected with him emotionally as much as they did with R. Kelly. And in the music, I mean, Diddy's music, Diddy kind of sucked as a rapper. He really wasn't that great. But because he produced so many high profile, very good artists and always had to have his name on the songs and I like this and whatever the hell he threw in there for a few words. I mean, he became more ingrained that way. But I don't feel that people made an emotional connection with him as strong as they did with some of the other folks that he brought up or that were around him. And that's where I feel like it's easier for someone who did grow up up with the music, who you know, was very ingrained into the culture of it, and they see these allegations of what he has allegedly done and the people that he hurt. I don't know that there's a lot of people turning a blind eye to it and just thinking, oh, it's all consensual, considering what we've heard so far.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know either. And I hear you loud and clear. Like, and I can't disagree. I mean, the difference between the artist who's actually performing the music that touched you in a way that, you know, it affected your life in a positive way. Mm-hmm. I get that concept. But I mean, you could make the argument that for those people that happen to think that Biggie was one of the great artists of all time, which mm-hmm. I'm in that camp. Like, yeah. I love the Notorious B.I.G.
Sure, I agree. Me too.
And like, he's the, you know, the wonderkind of Diddy, man. Well, it's like when you look at the artists that he brought along mm-hmm. and that he discovered and turned into what they became, you know, I guess the question then becomes is like, are people aware of that? You know what I mean? Because you're right. If you're taking the factor of like, he's not the guy who's doing the singing.
Yeah.
But he's the guy who's making the music.
He's behind it. He's certainly a presence in it. But, you know, I don't know if
people do make that kind of connect.
If theoretically, let's say none of this happened, there's no charges against Diddy, we're back about a year ago before charges were made. Hell, let's take it back 10 years before anything, most of this ever really came to public light. Let's say Diddy got shot 10 years ago and died. I don't think we'd be seeing Diddy memorials on the sides of buildings and t-shirts and anything and everything you see today from Notorious B.I.G. or Tupac that are still flaunted around today, as, you know, these are really powerful black men who made some amazing music and really had an influence on the culture. I just don't think that there is that passion behind Diddy. And I think that's where I think a jury pool, honestly, is not going to be that hard to find that will be unbiased, even if they do like his music. I don't know. That's just kind of, he doesn't have that emotional raw connection with the audience, which is also why I think he always had to feel like the only way I'm going to get this what I want with all this money that I have is I have to pay sex workers. I have to drug people. I have to have other people drug people and bring people in and basically kidnap them to keep them with me. I don't think that wasn't Biggie, that wasn't Tupac, that wasn't most people. But I think Diddy was always kind of the outcast, kind of the odd duck kid, and I think he still lived that insecurity throughout his life to a very extreme extent, which let him swing the pendulum the other way to make him go so extreme to the other side. But at the end of the day, still very empty, because despite all of his successes, despite all of his bringing all these people up in the world and making the impact that he did, I don't know that a lot of, you know, a majority of the audience ever looked back on Diddy and went, yeah, he did that. I think most people who aren't super into this the way we are investigating this and looking into this or being part of the music industry as I was for 20 years, most people look at Diddy, I think, today, or did before all this came back out and people started revisiting it, as the guy who is like, how you live in Biggie Smalls. And, you know, he plays that one line in the song. He does the, oh, I like this. He had a handful of songs that were all minor hits. And, you know, and he did the Come With Me song, you know, back in the Godzilla soundtrack, which that's the one song of Diddy I do like. But I don't know. It's a perspective thing. And I totally respect your side of it too. It's just an interesting way of looking at how he's perceived versus, you know, someone else in the same sort of situation.
Yeah, no, man. And it's a fascinating, fascinating conversation. And I don't disagree with you in that sense. Like, if I think it about, and I listen to quite a bit of hip hop, and mm-hmm. I always have, I've been like, you know, I'm old, man. So I'm like, I'm OG shit.
This was our stuff.
Yeah. So when that stuff was rolling out, you know, mid 80s, late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, when I kind of think about what I thought about Diddy is I didn't. So to your point,
yeah,
like I never really gave him much thought one way or another. Obviously, I knew him of him. I knew what he was doing. I knew his branding was phenomenal. You know, it's like when I was drinking Ciroc vodka, I fucking knew that that was Diddy's shit.
I still drink Ciroc vodka and I like it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, the guy could make a brand.
Yeah.
You know, so you could be absolutely right in terms of how that translates. It may not translate to people at all. There could be no worry whatsoever because this guy, like, even though he had a massive social impact, it's like people didn't really know it was him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't have any kind of connection to him where they're like, you know, every time they took a drink of Ciroc, they felt real reminiscent about, my God, thank you, Diddy. Thank you for making this, this grape vodka. It's
But here's the deal with that, and this is just totally personal and side note. I liked Ciroc before Diddy had anything to do with it. I was drinking it before Diddy had become part owner and all that. And I liked it because it was different. It is good vodka because it's fermented from grapes. It's different.
Right. They don't make it, it's not a grain.
Yeah. So I never I connected it with Diddy a bit after he started, you know, doing the commercials and he's riding the jet ski around drinking a bottle of Ciroc because who doesn't do that?
I do it every weekend.
Hi, officer on the boat patrol. I'm just drinking some Ciroc. I saw Diddy do it. I'd assumed it was okay.
It's got the cool jewel in the bottle, officer. Don't you see that? It's like, yeah. No, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But, like, that's what makes the case so fascinating, right? Yeah. It's like all of these aspects of it, you know, will those kind of things come into play? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, it's like, I think if he gets a jury of 12 middle-aged white folks, that he's fucked. You know, I think if he gets a jury of his peers, you know, or he's got, you know, four black people, eight white people, and the black people are more in tune with culturally what he meant to black people. You could have a problem, man. You know,
almost,
I'm just saying,
almost
like
OJ-ish. Are you saying kind of where it's like, we don't care. We kind of think you did this, but you were such a strong figure and influence in our community, basically jury nullification is what we're talking about.
That's what I'm suggesting because I mean, and again, like Diddy just dwarfs anything that OJ may have brought to the fucking table. Like AJ, like OJ is like doing what, the Avis commercials and was like a really good running back for the Bills.
Yeah.
Right. So, but like, in terms of kind of turning the world on its head, I mean, the guy really is the one of the primary reasons that rap was able to, and hip hop was able to break through and become mainstream.
Sure.
I mean, like the impact that he had kind of like on that level is massive.
Yeah. I mean,
but like you said, like people may not know that. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. And he certainly did break down walls. I worked in Wisconsin in radio at a top 40 in Green Bay and some other areas up there over the years when he was at his peak, when these songs, the hits were coming out. And it was a very white top 40 type station. So like talking the station, like in the early 2000s is still playing Def Leppard over like new Diddy or new, you know, insert black artist here who has a really good hit song because, you know, essentially of some of the higher ups and advertisers being a bit racist. And it was like, well, if you play that rap stuff, we're not going to advertise. That's just how it was. And it drove us nuts who were on the air and in programming. Cause it's like, the audience wants this music, but if we ever did get some of those songs through on a station that barely played rap, even if it's the number one song, it would have been Diddy, typically. Maybe Eminem, 50 Cent on a good day. But there was so much other music. Like, we weren't playing 112. We weren't playing, like, Missy. We weren't playing any of that stuff because it was deemed to be, you know, too black, as stupid as that was. And again, I hated it. I did not stand behind that. I was always fighting for it. But yeah, I mean, but to get your point, he broke through. He was one of the few artists that even the super white culture was like, oh, he's safe enough. You know, he's doing a Diana Ross song in the background. And right. they thought it'd be a little more safe. I don't know. It was stupid. But yeah, he certainly was the one who did break through and opened that door for being eventually, you got to break these stations down and go, look, you got to play this stuff. It's hit songs. People love it. But yeah, he was at the forefront of that without a doubt.
100%. And it's not just the songs themselves, but it's the beats.
Oh yeah.
The beats, like these producers that make beats that are just these beats that are so catchy
mm-hmm.
that you're immediately, you know, just waiting for whatever the hook's going to be in the song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's the beat that draws you in. And it's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. It'll be interesting to see what the jury veneer is made up of in terms of who's going to sit on that jury. You know, I mean, it's in Southern District.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Manhattan. So it's yeah. like, it'll be the whole thing's fascinating, man. Really is.
Off of the federal indictment, Diddy recently filed that $50 million defamation lawsuit against an attorney, against someone making allegations of having some of these tapes, which the federal indictment talks about the tapes exist. And also Nexstar Media, who owns News Nation, for some of the comments, some of the allegations that were coming out on Banfield. I don't know where this is going to go, but seeing what we're seeing now with the superseding indictment, the federal government basically semi-describing the videos that they are in possession of, where do you think that goes at this point? Or was it all just kind of a strategic move to try and get a little bit of positivity over here and induce a little bit of doubt of, wow, he's suing for $50 million. He must really think these videos don't exist when, well, they kind of do. And if you're going to go into a civil suit like this, again, that opens up a lot of discovery for even more information and, yeah, and depositions and such.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this.
Like, yeah.
I think you brought up like a month or 2 months
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. It's been for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're like, well, does he yeah. file a defamation suit? And I'm like, well, I mean, if he does, you know, the defense defamation is it's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like, so again, it's going to bring in that whole concept of they're going to get to depose him.
Yeah.
The other side, whoever's defending the case. And, you know, he's going to have to sit there. And you just like to think in the world that we live in, where you cannot go anywhere where somebody is not on their phone filming. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and if you think that you've got people in these parties or that were in protection mode, like people at some point you become as an individual, if you're under the thumb of Diddy,
mm-hmm.
like you've got to start protecting yourself in some way.
Yeah.
And most people that are going to be in the inner circle with him are probably not going to be super thick people in terms of not smart. Like mm-hmm. they've probably got some smarts about them if you're in his inner circle. Cause I don't imagine that he was surrounding himself with idiots, you know? So point being that at some point those people had to have been like, man, I got to protect myself if the shit goes down on this thing. Like at some point, you know, like you've got to be thinking, like, how long can this guy get away with this shit?
He did for so long, you know, I think that's people thought he was Teflon, and you get to a level of comfort and conditioning, essentially going, no, nothing's going to take this guy down. Can't stop, won't stop until you get stopped.
That's it, man.
And that's where it ends.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Hunter ceiling fans. They provide consistent comfort all year round and also help reduce energy costs. Right now, save big on Hunter ceiling fans when you shop at Menards. View our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans today on Menards.com. Plus, our weekly flyer with plenty more great deals happening now.
Save big.